Chumba.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
By law, 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
Welcome back in hour number two of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, equal housing lender. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Monday morning, reacting to an ugly Titans loss yesterday, 19-13 against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Titans fall to 9-5. We're taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. So, Joe, here we are again, coming out of a game and discussing an injury situation with Julio Jones. We talked about the first play of the game yesterday. He was open. He was streaking wide open down the field. Titans couldn't get the ball to him, and it was pretty much silence from Julio Jones after that. He got one target on the day, which came in the end zone as the Titans are trying to score a touchdown. As far as I know, that was the last time he stepped foot on the field. And here we are again with Julio Jones with a hamstring injury after being on IR earlier, taking some time off, looking like he got through the game against Jacksonville healthy. Here we are 1 week later, and Julio Jones is hurt once again with a hamstring injury and did not finish the game yesterday. It's incredibly disappointing, but at this point, Joe, it's pretty much expected with Julio Jones. Like I have zero expectation that he can stay healthy as we move forward here.
Yeah, I don't know how anybody could, you know, at this point have any expectation for anything from him. And the thing is, even when, again, first play, yes, he looked pretty fast on that play, I will say. But you're talking about a guy who got targeted one time when he was playing in that game. Many possessions before he got hurt. And again, apparently he got hurt on the Firkser fumble. He did play some after that. So maybe again, he tweaked it on some other route that he ran or something. I don't know. But quickly ruled out as soon as he, you know, there was no like questionable. And then eventually you see he's out. It's like he's just ruled out in the first half. And I don't know what, I mean, at this point, even if he comes back, like someone said yesterday in the press box, well, just put him on season ending IR. And I was like, well, I wouldn't do that because, I mean, you invested a ton. In hoping to have the real Julio Jones in your team, I mean, I'd go ahead and wait it out and hope he gets healthy and bring him back whenever you can, and maybe he can help you in the playoffs or something like that. But it's at this point, he's a complimentary player at best, and how could you have any expectation that he can even stay healthy, let alone be explosive?
That's the thing, like, you know. Even when he's on the field, we're talking last week, what do you have, four catches for 33 against Jacksonville? He gets one target in this game while he's on the field. You know, and they were talking about this last week on the broadcast. It's not like, you know, you're just attracting all this attention to Julio Jones. Like, you've got to find a way for him to be explosive and to get open and to do it on a consistent basis. And he's not even really been able to do that since he's come back from injury. And now here we are, another hamstring injury. Like, this is, to me, is pretty incredible. Like, he dealt with a hamstring all year last year. It's been cropping up all year this year. So you shut him down for 4 weeks, and he comes back, and here he is again with a hamstring injury. Like, it's pretty incredible how this just continues to flare up with him with an injury that typically, when you rest it, it heals, and it's fine. But apparently, he just can't run any routes anymore without tearing his hamstring in half. Like, I don't understand what's going on out there with Julio Jones.
Yeah, I just think he's breaking down. I mean, I think that, you know, this looks like one of those cases of hoping you got somebody who still has gas in the tank, and they're breaking down. He's been in this league a long time, done a lot of great things in this league. He's going to be in Canton, and he's going to be on this team next year too. I mean, pretty much for sure. I mean, I'm looking at over the cap. You're talking about 13.2. You know, his cap number this year is 4.1.
Yep.
Next year, his cap number is 14.3. But his dead money is 13.2 if you cut him. So, I mean, you're locked into a situation where you're just really hoping at some point he gets healthy and looks like Julio Jones. But I just, at this point, I mean, I've been withholding for a long time. Like, okay, you know, let's see. At times early in the season, he kind of looked good. He looked really good at Seattle. So you've seen a little bit, but it seems so distant now. That seems like years ago. And I'd say anything he does from here is gravy, which is a huge problem. Huge problem that, of course, you gave up a second round pick, that you took on the salary, and you're tied to him. I mean, even the next year, by the way, you know, the dead number is 8.4. You know, so like you are going to pay dearly to get rid of him, or you're just going to have him and he's just going to be a shell of himself and sort of a, you know, complimentary guy on your roster. It's not looking like a great situation right now.
No, it's incredibly disappointing, the returns on Julio Jones thus far. And look, I agree. I mean, we've even talked about it last week. Like, if you told me that Julio Jones was healthy and was in, you know, a situation in the playoffs where he can really help you, then there's still an opportunity on the table for this trade to be worth it, because ultimately he was brought in to help you win in the playoffs. That's still on the table, I suppose, but I don't know how you have any faith that he could be healthy and could be a difference maker for you at this point. And my question is, you know, a lot of what we thought about this Titans team heading into the season, obviously health was a big part of it. That's the caveat anytime you have conversation. But it was not just Derrick Henry running the ball. It wasn't just A.J. Brown continuing to improve. It was Julio Jones. And throwing this out there of, okay, if you're a defensive coordinator, what are you focusing your attention on? Are you trying to shut down Derrick Henry? And if you do, how much can A.J. Brown and Julio Jones take advantage of that situation? Well, to me, I mean, that conversation, forget the Derrick Henry part of it. We'll see what when he comes back. But the conversation of having those two guys to pick from is gone at this point. Like, you need A.J. Brown to come back and be A.J. Brown, but I just have zero confidence that Julio Jones is going to be able to do it. And my question for you is, how much does that change the conversation of what we thought this team could be heading into the season in terms of their opportunity to win a Super Bowl if Julio Jones is going to be virtually a zero out there? To me, it changes it quite a bit.
Yeah, and it's also the lack of, you know, any sort of real threat at tight end. I mean, they're going to the tight end. So, I mean, Ferkser had the fumble. He made some plays just here and there. You get a swing or a proof. But, they don't have the Jonnu Smith threat that they had before. And obviously Corey Davis, who, let's remind everyone, is out for the year, by the way, is hurt. But Corey Davis was a better, you know, complement last year, obviously, by far, than Julio Jones has been at all this year. Now, last year, you also had A.J. Brown the entire season, even though he was hurt, being, you know, we talked last year, like, is he the top tier? Is he an elite receiver? All that stuff, right? I mean, that made such a difference. But, yeah, this whole pick your poison, what are you going to do? Julio Jones doesn't scare anybody right now. Even when he's out there, even, you know, in between tweaks of the hamstring, he doesn't scare anybody right now. So it's going to be all on A.J. Brown. But if you do have him, at least you have a threat. And of course, if you have Derrick Henry, I do think that still puts defenses in a bind. It's never going to look like, barring something totally unforeseen right now, I just can't picture it. I can't picture Julio Jones coming back again and then finally doing what he was brought in to do. So, that's just never going to happen. That offense doesn't exist anymore.
Well, there's a whole lot of conversation out of Atlanta right now, the Titans fans, of like, yeah, see, told you so. Tried to tell you what's going on there.
Yeah, well, and there's somebody on the text line was like, well, I just think Julio was mad about not getting the ball. Like, the thing is, the conversation, see, that's not what's going on here. I mean, and I don't think that there's been any sort of internal problems from Julio. That's what I heard from Atlanta fans. Like, oh, he's going to be not practice and all this stuff. And you know, Julio Jones and Atlanta management got into this. They had irreconcilable differences, but that's not the issue here. The issue here is that his body is betraying him, is breaking down on him. I mean, so if you're an Atlanta fan who said, yeah, he's going to be hurt and his best days are long gone and he's just going to break down, well, then I'll give you props. But this is not – Julio is a malcontent who's just like throwing his helmet on the sideline. He's just not going to play anymore. He can't run.
No, and to your point, unlike the two plays in the last 2 weeks where he has looked a little explosive and looks like – and there was an opportunity there. You know, he had the deep route against Jacksonville where Tannehill had to get rid of the ball. And then the first play of the game yesterday, Tannehill gets sacked. Like, that's – you need to see that more than one time a game from Julio Jones. And like you said, I guess he got hurt diving for the ball on the first play. There's video of him kind of coming up a little gimpy after that. And then, you know, he runs the route in the end zone, and that was all she wrote for Julio Jones yesterday. It's just – it's got to be incredibly frustrating for Titans fans, for John Robinson, for Mike Vrabel, everybody involved of every time that dude gets out there – it seems like he's one play away from that hamstring being an issue once again. And to your point, he'll probably get back out there again this year. I would imagine he'll be back on the field at some point. Have zero confidence that he's going to be a difference maker. And Titans are stuck with him, unless they just want to bite the bullet on $13.2 million worth of dead money next year.
Yeah, I mean, it's – so he's going to have to be part of your plans moving forward. And that's just, that can't be a comforting thought, you know. It was a gamble that at the time I liked it. I think it was a go for it move that, I got it at the time. I mean, because this team, look, through all these things, we're talking about a 9-5 football team that still is probably going to win its division. I mean, it would still, even from here, even after yesterday, it would take a pretty tremendous collapse for the Titans to not win the AFC South. So even with all the bad things going on, 9-5, and they're going to probably host a home playoff game. So it is a go for it year. I mean, all these things have gone on, and you still have this quality of a football team. The defense has been fixed, by the way, apparently. Yesterday, the defense is being like, they're talking about, well, we're not going to point the finger at the offense. I'm like, oh my gosh, this was the conversation after every game last year with the other side of the ball.
Yes.
So it was a go for it move that I liked at the time. I mean, I liked the Clowney move too, but man, those go for it moves are not working out, and they are proving very costly. And this one, we may be in the early stages of how costly this one was.
We'll continue to take your thoughts on Julio Jones and the Titans' loss to the Steelers yesterday on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. Go to thegamenashville.com/deals to check out Nashville's best deals. This week's new deal is a Downtown Dollars $150 digital gift card for only $100. The gift card is redeemable at hundreds of downtown Nashville shops, restaurants, and more. And with Downtown Dollars, you get more to spend at an old favorite or discover one of the many new destinations in downtown's growing neighborhoods. Check out all of Nashville's best deals now at thegamenashville.com/deals. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
How disappointing is it to lose Julio again?
It's just disappointing to lose. I mean, it's just, man, we concern ourselves with everybody's health. You know, no different than anybody else, whether it's somebody's ankle or shoulder. You know, just disappointing to lose.
Yeah, how much did that affect things, having to raise
his
in there
and move his? We're ready for anything that comes up. That's our job, is to be ready to make sure that there's guys out there that are ready to go, whether they had a lot of reps in practice or didn't have a whole lot of reps. You know, those things happen, and we're used to it, and I know that we're ready for it.
That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel yesterday after some capital J journalism questions from our friend Joe Rexrode at the press conference yesterday. The Titans lose to the Steelers 19-13. They fall to 9-5 on the season. 9-5. Blown opportunity yesterday for the Titans and the offense. We had somebody text us a little bit earlier, Joe, said, you literally could have just done nothing but taken a knee and punted the ball in the second half and probably still won that game if you're the Titans, up 13-3 at the half.
No, I mean, you could actually have made a case here of some third down quick kicks from Tannehill, and just say, you know what, Steelers, you've had one drive.
Yeah.
Do it again. See if you can actually, with your offense, move into position to score points. Go, let's go. Let's go. Let's see it. And I think they may have won. I mean, really, it's you had the – I mean, if that drive, it was a 63-yard drive and like half of the yardage was penalty yardage. So I think the most the Steelers did in terms of gaining their own yardage in a possession was like 30-plus yards on the day. It's just – it's such a bad game to lose. Such a bad game to lose.
Liam on the text line. We need the offensive guru Jim Schwartz to come in and fix this mess. Well done, Liam.
Yeah, Liam and I are going back and forth in the text line about Todd Downing, because he said, I firmly believe there's at least 25 other offensive coordinators that would have scored more than 13. Heck, any decent Madden player would have been an improvement. You know, look, it was a bad day for Todd Downing. I'd agree. I would disagree with that assessment. Todd Downing did not give the ball to the other team four times. You know, it'd be much easier if we could point to one person and say, this is the problem, and you fix that, get that person. You know, Tannehill is an easy choice. Todd Downing is an easy choice. I think Tannehill had a better day than Todd Downing yesterday, but it wasn't a great day. He's not elevating. He's not doing enough. There's just some realities about this team, though, that I just don't know if they're going to be fixed. Pass protection still is just something – that's the thing I think is least likely to be fixed this year. You know, now receiver, that can be fixed by A.J. Brown, maybe to a large extent. Right now they're – you know, you can scheme open guys – And I don't disagree with you. Like, why can't you scheme more stuff open? Hey, I agree. Do more stuff. Find better plays. Go with the running game when it's working. But I also, like, you guys have to win outside and be able to get open, too, on their own. We saw this in the Jets loss, right? Josh Reynolds, by the way, was the number one receiver that day. And he's they would probably be okay having him on the roster right now, by the way.
Run a little arena football play. Josh Reynolds, get in there in motion. Keep going forward. That's why the Lions are winning games now, buddy.
CFL Josh Reynolds. But that game, like, the Jets were all over Tannehill. They sacked him, whatever. Well, they sacked him seven times that day or whatever.
Yeah.
I think nobody could get open. And the Steelers had no fear about these guys yesterday. And it's just what it is. Nick Westbrook-Ikhina is a heck of a story. He's got to be like your number four. He's your number one.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, they're in a rough spot. They need A.J. Brown to come back with a quickness. And now here they are. You're 9-5. The Colts are 8-6. They get a big win against the Patriots in a game where, especially early on, they look really good in that game. You've got, you know, three games left if you're the Titans at this point. The Niners coming in on Thursday. You've got a one-game lead that essentially is two over the Colts based on the head-to-head winning percentage against Indianapolis. But we talked about it last week. Like, if you're a Titans fan, who are you rooting for? Are you rooting for the Colts to beat the Patriots, or are you rooting for the Patriots to beat the Colts? I said Colts to beat the Patriots. I assumed the Titans would beat the Steelers. They did not. And now here they sit, just a one-game lead over Indianapolis, who is now at 8-6 and looking pretty good, even though wasn't a whole lot of throwing of the football going on the other night in that game.
No. There's a... no need, man. No need for that. That was – look, I think it was the right move, by the way, for Titans fans to – not that your cheering made any difference in the outcome, but to feel good about the Colts winning that game because your team should have won yesterday. Your team should have beaten Pittsburgh. Your team should be the number one seed right now and be in position to have the number one seed, you know, with three games to play. So I think that was the right rooting interest. Didn't work out for you, so now it's a one game. But again, remember, it's a two-game lead. I know that the Dolphins came back and you know, earned a hard-earned win over those mighty Jets yesterday. But your last two games are the Dolphins at home and Houston and Robbie's favorite quarterback of all time on the road.
Well, what a win by him yesterday. Congrats to our friend Davis Mills for taking down the mighty Jaguars yesterday.
Yes, staring down at them from above as they after defeating them.
Really stretching the defense out there. Really look good. Yes,
he must have. He must have. If you're the Titans, like you need to win. If you win those two games, because frankly, guys, I don't like the matchup Thursday. I don't like it.
I think they're about to come in here and get destroyed on Thursday. I really do. I think San Francisco is going to totally eviscerate them on Thursday, based on the way they've been playing.
They might take it to them. They're physical. This is a team that actually can run the football, and boy, can they get after the quarterback. So I could see this getting real interesting. I could see this being a tied in the standings race going in the last two weeks. But look, you beat the Dolphins at home. You beat the freaking Texans in the finale, and you win the division. It doesn't matter what the Colts do. You have to win. Your magic number is 2. Yeah, maybe the Colts will lose at Arizona. I mean, I just – who knows? I don't know what in the world is going on with the Cardinals right now to get blown out in Detroit, but that doesn't mean that they're necessarily circling the drain all of a sudden. But let's just say the Colts are going to go win that game too. You have 2 games of the 3 remaining that you absolutely should win. I know the Dolphins have come back. Good for them. They're in the muddled, huge playoff picture too. They're 7-7. It's not a great team, and it's a game at home that you need to win. So I still think the Titans are in position, and frankly, if they blow it, then it's an all-timer.
Well, there's a lot of paper tiger to the Dolphins. I mean, they got a great win against Baltimore in the second game of this winning streak. That was really impressive. They've beaten the Texans, the Jets, the Panthers, the Giants, and the Jets again. So look, they're 7-7. Congrats to them for turning their season around and getting back into this thing. But to your point, I still don't think they're a very good football team. I will say, though, like, to me, with the result of that game yesterday, the conversation of the number one seed for the Titans is pretty much dead to me at this point. Like, for a couple of reasons. Number one, like, I don't know that Kansas City's going to lose again, so in pretty good position there. And number two, I mean, I don't like the matchup for the Titans heading into this week against the Niners. Like, to me, it's much more about can you hold on and secure the division at this point? Because, look, I don't know what's going to happen with Indy and Arizona. That's a big game coming up for them. But, man, like right now, the way the Titans are playing offensively, I'm not convinced that they're going to be able to win 2 out of the next 3, even if it is Miami and Houston coming in here. Like, there's got to be a dramatic improvement on offense, and obviously getting A.J. Brown back for those games would help pretty tremendously.
Well, but okay. They might blow it, but the thing is, if you play this defense and then don't turn the ball over left and right, I still think you win those last 2 games.
But they've turned the ball over left and right 3 out of the last 4 weeks. It's what they do.
Well, I'll tell you what. If this is what they're going to do, then you're right. They're never going to win. They won't win again. They're out of the playoffs. I can't project. It's incredible that you have 13 turnovers in 3 games. But I can't like project that as an expectation ever for an NFL team, you know, unless you're so bad. That's the thing. There are inept, terrible teams in the history of this league where, like, you can't block anybody, can't throw, you know, can't do anything. So you have all these turnovers. That's not what this team is. This team is just weirdly like, what are you doing, Firkser? Secure the ball.
Yeah.
Tannehill said yesterday after the game, he's like, I don't think I've ever had a snap problem with Ben Jones even in practice ever. And there you go. So, look, if that's going to continue, then sure, it's all on the table. I think that they should be able to figure it out and not have just droves of turnovers. We'll see. I mean, they are going to supposedly have A.J. Brown back too. If you just are still bad on offense, but you just keep playing this defense and you don't give teams games, I don't know. I haven't watched a ton of the Dolphins this year, but they're not especially good. Now, on the one seed, I know we have to go to break. On the one seed topic, if the Titans do manage to beat the Niners Thursday, then it comes back into play because with 2 things that need to happen. The Bengals need to beat the Chiefs at home, which is possible. I mean, the Bengals are, you know, they're capable and they're obviously playing for a ton. And then the Bills need to go into New England in the rematch and win that. And I don't know. I don't know the likelihood of that.
You don't have any confidence in the Steelers beating the Chiefs this Sunday coming up after what you saw yesterday?
Oh, good Lord.
No confidence there?
Is that in Kansas City, too?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, no. No. I'm sorry, Steelers Nation. The Chiefs probably aren't going to serve up a win on a platter for you like the Titans just did.
We'll continue the conversation on the Titans, including some thoughts from people on the text line about why a certain member of the team has not seen the field. Yeah, we'll get to that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, and YouTube today and every day. Our video streaming brought to you by the law offices of Amanda Gentry. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio. Michelle and myself, Joe, live from Pittsburgh after you got to watch that doozy of a game in person yesterday. Lots of good football for you yesterday, Rex Road. Between that one and the Sunday night game you got back and watched last night, I'm sure you're fired up about some football this week.
It was a pretty brutal game yesterday in person, but I was like, well, you know what? At least I get to watch the GOAT and prove to everybody why, you know, when you're a great quarterback, you lose some receivers and weapons, you can still move up and down the field and score points. Because surely Tom Brady didn't go scoreless last night, right?
Yeah.
Oh, wait, he did. I'm sorry.
Hey, Mike. My quarterback has no problem scoring points when he loses people. Just throwing that out there.
That's true.
Joe, did you get Permantes in Pittsburgh?
You know, I might do that today.
You have to.
No, I like it. I like it. I feel like it's a little bit overrated. Like, I like French fries on a sandwich, okay? Don't get me wrong. I like Iron City, too. I mean, I like these things, but there
nice
are a lot
by
of
you yesterday,
places.
Too.
What's that?
The Iron City tweet by you yesterday is pretty solid.
Thank you. Well, actually, Mike's Beer Bar is where we had dinner last night with George Walker and Ben and Ben Arthur. And that's very, very good food. It says it's a beer bar, but actually it has very good food. So shout out to Mike's Beer Bar. They also have like a million beers.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Kenny from Clarksville texting in. It's irritating that Golden Tate is sitting on the practice squad and not activated when he's a more proven wide receiver than any of the people that are playing. And Joe, we've gotten about three or four texts about Golden Tate so far this morning. I knew that we would coming in, especially when the passing game is struggling as much as it is, and you have a name that has been a good player in the NFL and that people know. I guess my response to that, Joe, is if the Titans thought Golden Tate could help them at this point, he'd have been on the field by now.
Yeah, look, hey, at this point, I will agree, like, it's worth a shot,
Yeah. Okay?
Like, it's worth a shot. But, I mean, I think the fact that he hasn't been able to break into this group and was out of the league probably tells you something.
Also, I thought Chester Rogers was pretty good yesterday for what they asked him to do, and, like, I would assume that's where Golden Tate would play, right? Would be in the slot.
I would assume so. I mean, it's a common thing where it's like, here's a proven player. And, well, shoot. When the Titans traded for Julio Jones, you're talking about trading for a Hall of Famer who's still, as far as we knew, he had hamstring stuff last year. The first time he kind of hurt him, but when he played last year, he still looked like Julio Jones. Numbers were terrific. And look at what he's done. When your guy's out of the league, it's kind of like, you know, like Adrian Peterson comes in here and, AD or AP, whatever you want to call him. Well, what happens there? Not much. So, hey, at this point, it's worth a shot, but I think the situation probably speaks for itself. Mike from Nashville on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHunter.com, says, so where are we with the conversation about Tannehill as an elite quarterback? I think that's also a very popular sentiment on the text line and in general.
Well,
I don't know.
The elite part of it.
No one ever said he was elite.
Right. We need to drop the elite part of it because I don't think anybody ever said that he was an elite quarterback. I will say, I've thought for a long time he's a tier two quarterback, and I'm starting to question that. Like, I don't know if he's a tier two quarterback. He's certainly not with the way he's played this year.
No, I agree. Look, some of the anonymous GMs who tell Mike Sando he's not very good, I mean, they're being, their opinions are sort of being reinforced this year. And, you know, Mike Greenberg's rant about he's the most disrespected you know, player in the in sports, in American sports or whatever he said, is kind of that one's about to be on Old Takes Exposed. I mean, look, again, I'm definitely people are telling me I'm sugarcoating Tannehill. I disagree with people who watch yesterday's game and say, oh, Tannehill's the problem. But it's he has been disappointing overall this year. And there's no way around that. He hasn't done enough, and he's made too many mistakes. And you can't do it. I mean, it instead of elevating this team when they lost all these guys, he has been a part of. In some games, he has been part of the problem, and that's not an elite quarterbacks aren't part of the problem.
Matt on the text line, explain to me how Josh Reynolds is thriving with the Detroit Lions, but couldn't crack the lineup with us. It is very interesting. Like Josh, look, it's not like Josh Reynolds is out there looking like, you know, Davante Adams or anything for the Lions, but he's in the lineup. He's playing pretty well. Obviously, there's some familiarity there with Jared Goff as the quarterback position, but I mean, I watched him play yesterday, and I think to myself, yeah, but kind of be nice to have Josh Reynolds out there right now if you're the Titans.
Yeah, I mean, he's thriving. I mean, that's a team that has no receivers. I mean, Khalif Raymond's been a starter there. So you knew he was going to get reps, right, and snaps, and he couldn't get on the field. Now, would he now? Yeah, I think so. I mean, they've lost some people. I mean, when correct me if I'm wrong, when he asked to be moved, and by the way, once that happens, you really have to, you really need to want a player to keep a player if a player asks out. But I believe when he did, were Julio and AJ both active at that point? Am I right about that?
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, at that point, he was definitely behind Westbrook-Ikhina. I mean, look, that's just, and Westbrook-Ikhina, I would say, is not as fluid as Josh Reynolds. Josh Reynolds is more dangerous in some ways, but Westbrook-Ikhina fits this offense perfectly and is like everybody's favorite guy in the building. And yeah, he is a good blocker at receiver. And yeah, they care about that. They do. Some of the 201 rushing yards yesterday had to do with guys blocking downfield too. So he was behind him. Plus those two guys were active. So he was way down the depth chart. Rodgers, and you know, now he'd be playing. There's no doubt about it. But when the player asks out, then you got to move on.
Andrew from Dover texts again. When are we going to bench Firkser and focus on Pruitt as our starting tight end? This coming from Andrew from Dover on the text line.
Well, they both play a fair amount. Pruitt is definitely better as a blocker than Firkser. So, but I mean, Firkser has to be out there some, and he proved to be, I mean, I think he had two or three, correct me if I'm wrong, I think he had two chain moving catches. Yeah, so he had two targets, two catches, 19 yards. They moved the chains both times, but of course, on one of them, he fumbled the ball away.
Yeah.
What did Pruitt have? Pruitt had one catch for 1 yard.
Yeah.
I mean, the whole group, Swaim, two targets, one catch, 5 yards. The whole group is just very underwhelming.
The bottom line is they have three replacement-level tight ends out there. That's what they have. They have three replacement-level tight ends. They don't have a number one tight end. It's a problem. We knew it could be a problem heading into the season. Now, I didn't anticipate it being this big of a problem. I thought we'd see more out of Anthony Firkser. But the bottom line is the way they played so far this year, they have three replacement-level tight ends. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, but it is – you can go back. You can't go back and change anything, but that would be one of the biggest things in the offseason. That included, of course, drafting Dylan Raidens in the second round, a guy who can't see the field, and getting Julio Jones, all that stuff. But one of the big things would be figure out tight end. Go get someone who can be a true number one tight end, and then that's got to be a priority moving into the next offseason.
We'll have Corey Curtis from News 2 coming up to begin the 8 o'clock hour, get his thoughts on the Titans and the horrific loss yesterday to the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's coming up here in just a few minutes. When we come back, it is time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's Rant of the Week every Monday morning at 7:45. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
The time is now for the Rex Rant.
Sounds like somebody's got a case of the Mondays.
On Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
And it is that time of the week, time for the Rex Rant here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe Rex Road's rant of the week. You can catch it every Monday morning at 7:45. Joe Rex Road, this is always one of my highlights of my week, is the Rex Rant. I'm looking forward to it today here on the program. Nice Christmas week Rex Rant coming up. What a way to set the tone.
Very nice, and thank you for the Kokomo. Very, very nice.
Of course.
I actually really like that song.
It's pretty good.
It's obvious that you do. So good for you.
Thanks, Joe.
You enjoy. So I got a couple little mini things I got to throw in first.
Okay.
Get to the primary thing that I want to complain about today. So first of all, I believe it was Tony Barnhart. I heard on another station saying talking about name, image, likeness over the weekend, and he said, or you know, all the payments, player, those stuff. He said it's literally the old Wild Wild West.
Oh boy.
And I'm like, really? It's literally like there's cowboy hats and they're roping
shootouts in the street.
John Wayne and everything, man. Unbelievable. Literally. It's duels. The old West. Yeah. 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 These companies are having duels in the street to see who can get Bryce Young on a commercial. So thank you for that. Also, and I was gonna talk about this. I'm so like just totally burned out on COVID and everything. I'm just going to be brief. You know, if John Patriot 743-229-1677 tweets stupid crap about COVID, then that's fine. It's, but like, if you're like someone with a platform and, you know, especially like in media and you see all this stuff that's been going on with the NFL and your takeaway is, see, it was all BS. All this COVID was all BS. One, you're not paying attention. Like, we have a vaccine now. This is a variant that's apparently very transmissible and not very harmful. It's new information. And also, when you say stuff like it was all BS, you're disrespecting thousands and thousands of families who lost people, not to mention people on the front lines in hospitals who continue to ask for people to be vaxxed so that they can have enough beds for people. So that's, I'm just going to leave it at that. Makes me sick. But today, Robbie, I'm going to rant about Tennessee fans.
Okay.
And I want you to answer for Tennessee fans. Okay. So look, you hate Memphis, Tennessee fans, and that's great. That means you should want to play Memphis. I mean, it's just, and I understand all the anger about this game being canceled. I don't, like, according to Memphis, you know, they might have had four or five players after contact tracing. Two were positive. So, and a lot of Tennessee fans are like, well, you have two guys, so why can't you play? Apparently, and Rick Barnes kind of, I felt like Rick Barnes kind of felt the same way. And he said, like, well, there's going to be other games in the future where you're going to have to play. But if Memphis is accurate with that, you know, and this was, by the way, this was someone who told that to I think Brendan Quinn for The Athletic. Well, then you understand why they didn't play the game. It's awful. It's a huge disappointment. But this is a game that we should all want to happen every year. Let's look at Tennessee's schedule. Let's see. You got Lenoir Rhine, where Rick Barnes, that was a nice exhibition. You got UT Martin, you got a little ETSU, you got some Tennessee Tech, a little Presbyterian, a little Colorado, an eyesore of a game against Texas Tech, UNC Greensboro, USC Upstate. Now, granted, they did have a nice little tournament where they played Nova and UNC. They do have a big game, actually, Wednesday with Arizona coming in. But that is the entirety of, you know, the first 2 months of the season before you get to SEC play. And frankly, even SEC play, you know, I mean, you got some games that you get excited about and a lot of games that are kind of right?
I mean, the like Kentucky game, going to the NIT. It's just kind of All right, they're on schedule, whatever.
Okay, don't even. Do you see them the other night?
Sorry, continue.
Yes, UNC is pretty bad. But no, good win in Kentucky. This is a game that was, whether you want to admit it or not, you were more interested in watching and more excited about this game than pretty much any of those other games. I mean, Robbie Stanley was going to the arena to watch it. That place was going to be
– Yeah, I was going
to
be there.
The place was going to be pretty packed. It was going to be a great environment. It was going to be a big event, which is so hard to make happen in college basketball for so many people who don't care about it until you get into March. And I think what Tennessee fans think is, well, we're not going to play them. Like, it's going to, like, kill their program or something. Let's look at Memphis's schedule. Memphis this year, you know, they had St. Louis, Western Kentucky, you know, Virginia Tech. They lost four in a row. They lost Iowa State. They lost to Georgia, Ole Miss. They beat Alabama. There's enough on their schedule. I mean, if they would have ripped through their schedule, they could be like a two seed in the NCAA tournament. They didn't need the Tennessee game to be relevant. Do they need it more than Tennessee needs it? Absolutely. There's no question. But if Memphis recruits like they've been recruiting and they coach better and they actually play up to their potential, they are a team that stands on their own as a threat, whether they play Tennessee or not. I feel like there's this misconception that, like, you're going to make them irrelevant by not playing them. No, if you hate them, then you should want to watch your team beat the crap out of them every year. You get excited and into that game. And I just don't understand Tennessee fans who are just so hung up on not playing them anymore. If you don't like someone, then don't you want to compete against them? I don't understand it.
Well, and it's – I agree with you, but it's not Memphis. It's Penny Hardaway. That's what it is. It has nothing to do with the Memphis program. It's Penny Hardaway. That's what Tennessee fans are upset with. That's who they don't like. And that's what the genesis of this is. I mean, look, there's always kind of that weird, and we've talked about this on the show before, there's always kind of that weird Memphis versus everybody else in the state apparently thing that takes place here, which is in a lot of ways I think pretty funny. There was even some like Memphis media members last week getting into it about, oh, I can't believe they're playing this game at a hockey arena in Nashville, just stuff like that, which is a different conversation, but it's Penny Hardaway. That's what it is. Now, again, to your point, shouldn't you want to beat him? Because that's the theory I subscribe to. I'd like to see this game every year, and I'd like to see Tennessee come in there and kick their butt every year.
Right. I mean, obviously, you know, the way Penny acted a couple years ago was, I guess it was 3 years ago, right? Was pretty ridiculous. The whole thing and the game at Memphis. And look, by the way, the commie reference, Mark Giannotto, for the commercial appeal, I actually agreed with most of his column, which is like this game would be better at the home sites. But that game in Memphis and then the game at Knoxville a couple years ago, those were great atmospheres. Sure. I mean, it was – so I agree that, like, I would rather this game be played at home sites. Tennessee wants the neutral. Memphis wants the home sites. Yeah, the hockey arena shot was dumb. But, yes, it's personal with Penny. But, again – he just brought in the number one recruiting class in the country. Now, he's not doing much with it. I mean, in fact, if you want to look at them in this game, I mean, they're the ones who had to get out of it. It really hurts them a ton to not play this game, given how their season has gone. They actually needed to play this and win this game for their NCAA tournament resume, because he may be going to the NIT, but that's on him. Like, he's, you know, he's capable of recruiting, obviously. Maybe he's not capable of coaching well enough, but a personal conflict between two people. And look, I have a ton of respect for Rick Barnes, and he has every right to be upset with Penny Hardaway for how he acted a few years ago and what he said. I mean, it was ridiculous. But to me, you don't cost everybody this game that I think is incredibly compelling because of that personal conflict. There's a greater good, I think, for the game of college basketball in the state and for fans. I got to hope this is one of those situations, because I got into it with a bunch of UT fans, a lot of Vol Twitter on Saturday about
Vandy
this.
Joe.
Yeah, exactly. Vandy Joe. Right. Exactly. I got to hope that's, you know, just the loud minority on this, because, like, think about it. Like, what do you really get excited about with your team in the first few months of a season? Like, what actually gets you into? I saw the streets full of people Saturday. And I think, you know, they weren't just there to go to Broadway, although that's what they had to do because there was no game. I think a lot of people really wanted to see this game, and I can't understand the idea of getting rid of it. And it looks like it's done, until Penny Hardaway is not there, and that sucks.
It does. Look, I was looking forward to it. You know me, college basketball in December, but I was looking forward to the game. I was
so proud of you, Robbie.
I know. I was fired up. I was ready to go. I was literally like about 35 seconds away from my parking spot when I was at a red light. I looked on Twitter, and I was like, first thing I saw was a tweet from Trey Wallace. It says Tennessee-Memphis is canceled. I was like, whoop. All righty. Guess I'm going to turn around. That's what I did. It's good stuff.
At least you didn't pay for parking.
That's true.
Like some people.
Yeah, that's a tough one. Ah, that's just a shame that that happened. Now, then there was the thing yesterday where Tennessee fans are going nuts with now of Penny Hardaway saying that he misspoke earlier this season when he talked about like estimating 90% of his team was vaccinated, because apparently two players test positive. Other unvaccinated players had to sit out of contact tracing, and Penny Hardaway saying that he misspoke on that earlier this year. So Tennessee fans are upset about that.
Well, I mean, that's – and then there's also apparently, you know, some guys taking pictures with fans after they tested positive. Yep. I mean, there's a lot of questionable stuff here. But that is – I mean, that at least – that does answer the question for people who are like, well, why couldn't they still play? But that's the problem. When you have unvaccinated people on your team, those are different protocols. And so – yeah. So 90% was really what? 60%? Like what?
Yeah, like what? Rough estimation of 90%.
Yeah, it's almost half. So let's call it 90.
90,
yeah.
It works out. Maybe Penny's been hanging out with my quarterback a little bit. I don't know. What do you think?
COVID toe and yeah.
What a combination. This has been the Rex Rant. You can check it out every Monday morning at 7:45. When we come back, we'll catch up with our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2, get his thoughts on the Titans yesterday in Pittsburgh. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.